With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public, free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom, and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
I think it is time now to launch into the climate crazy headlines of this week just gone. And I'll make a start on. This is from our favorite, The Guardian. Herd of puppets to trek 20,000 kilometers to highlight urgency of the climate crisis. There's this team behind this project that was called the Little Amal, A-M-A-L, puppet project, which raised plight about the refugee crisis in Europe. It's funny, isn't it? We've often talked about the fact that mass immigration to the West is another thing on the agenda. It's those same people now pushing the climate crisis, but more on these puppets. So a herd of puppets will start a journey in West Africa next spring, 2025. The planned route includes Senegal, Morocco, Spain, France, UK, Netherlands, Denmark, Sweden, and finally Norway. The core herd will contain 30 puppets representing the migrating animals of Serengeti, but they'll be joined with the massive migration of other animals, creating a herd that could swell to dozens. Goodness, who comes up with this sort of nonsense?
Well, they've got a lot of time to, the people in behind all this, they've got too much time on their hand. Perhaps I can think of the best puppets to be there. They're not animals, they're human animals. Gutierrez and Figueres would be quite good. And all the people that have gone before, they should be relics of the past and made into puppets.
Yes, so Cristina Figueres, Don, is referring to the architect of the Paris Accord, and Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General of the United Nations. Mm. Gosh, what wouldn't I pay to see them marching off into the great unknown forevermore?
Yeah, no, of course, there's they had plenty of predecessors that could easily fit the fossilized sort of relics of the past I'm talking about. They need to be given their marching orders, and perhaps we should just leave them in the Serengeti.
Yes, Don.
I mean, they're costing us all. They are costing us all so, so much. The net zero system scam is falling to bits worldwide. And they're still pressing on, trying to hold on to their last vestiges of, as Mark Pay said last week, the climate hoax. So,
they're
crazies. That's one of your crazies. What else have you got?
Oh, my next one is again from The Guardian, and this is about Switzerland. Switzerland calls on the United Nations to explore the possibility of solar geoengineering on the 22nd of Feb. And Switzerland has initiated a global debate on whether the risks, benefits, and uncertainties of dimming the sun should be studied by who else but a United Nations expert group and set up an advisory panel. We want to dim the sun, Don.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? At the same time that they want solar panels all around the world that are powered by the sun. What a contradiction. How crazy are these people? Do they not see the stupidity of their argument? I mean, either or, they can have it either side, you know, either way. Regardless, if both of those things are non-market and not needed. It's just completely... It's virtue signaling on steroids, and it just wears you thin, doesn't it?
Completely.
Clearly, it winds me up.
And what's amazing to me is how all of these countries, be it Switzerland, be it us, be it the US, Canada, we've all accepted the United Nations as our Lord and Masters, you know, requesting them to set up a special advisory panel, requesting the World Health Organization for, you know, clues on what's the next pandemic going to do, wanting them to set up another international treaty. What is it about these unelected, unaccountable global NGOs that, you know, seems to float people's boat?
I can't answer for them, Jaspreet. They're grifters of the highest order. They clearly have never been in the real world doing real stuff, but it gets worse. The climate crazy I came up with this week was in the Telegraph. The Navy could make climate change courses compulsory. A leaked paper suggested that all sailors may be forced to attend online training on environmental issues.
You're kidding me.
Some people are just fighting back, saying, in fact, most people with common sense would fight back and say, the British Defence Force needs to get a grip. We don't need eco-friendly soldiers. We don't need sensitivity training for sailors, and we don't need another Whitehall talking shop. We need to focus on defence and quickly. That was from the UK. I'd agree.
Climate training. You know what this makes me think about? This whole last week was all about this real estate agent who was being harassed and harangued by her industry body to have, you know, to compulsorily undergo the Treaty of Waitangi training. There's going to come a time when they're going to get all the real estate agents to do compulsory climate change training. Mark my words, that's going to happen.
Well, and I dare say, look, you might say that facetiously, but let's hope it all gets tipped in the bin before then. But, the ESG, DEI stuff seems to be falling to bits around the world. I'm reading from another page here. JP Morgan Chase, BlackRock drop out of the massive UN Climate Alliance and stunning move. Meta, Amazon, Google shed 3,000 do-good ESG staff as backlash over woke capitalism intensifies. An ESG asset manager exodus in the Wall Street Journal, and on and on. And then we go to another article, Paul Taylor article in The Guardian. Farmers are in revolt and Europe's climate policies are crumbling. Welcome to the age of greenlash. Well, that's another term I hadn't heard, but I think I know what he means by greenlash. The lashing is happening and people are falling away. So, I remember saying late last year, my hope was that this would just start disintegrating, and I think it is. And I know you warn me every time. You're pushing it too far, too quick, Don. It's not happening just today, but I see the sentiment change. And look, it hasn't changed in New Zealand. That's the problem. We've got a lot of catching up to do.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't we?
We do. We are actually still hell-bent on the same route, just like we were when the vaccine was failing in Israel and other countries in the Northern Hemisphere. We continued down the merry path. And this week, just gone, Auckland University now has had a study that says, it can cause, blood, brain, and other disorders and heart disorders. But of course, Helen Pertussis Harris, she says it's just a small amount, nothing major, very tiny fraction. We will continue down this path of ESG for a while more, Dawn.
Yes, and in New Zealand, it seems that we want to be the poster child for everything in the world. And you're right. I listened to the health. What's her role, Pertussis Harris? What's her role?
She is in charge of our vaccine program. She is also she is sort of works for a global vaccine program, which is out of Auckland, which operates out of Auckland University, a monitoring program.
Mm. So I did listen to her output and I thought, that's very convenient the way this has been framed when you know there's plenty of others that could put or could add to her content and make it really count. And I do sense that that's growing thanks to the likes of RCR and Voices for Freedom and others trying to lift the ante on this and sort of say there's a lot more to see in here and we want to see it. Don't think you're going to brush this under the carpet because you won't get away with it.
They absolutely won't. I had put up a post of this on one of these groups and a gentleman named Steve Nesbitt responded on this one. He says, he quoting the article saying the risks were very small. And Steve says, meanwhile, I'm 8 weeks out from a stroke waiting to hear the date of my next operation as they found another aneurysm. My brother is just out of hospital after a stroke two weeks ago. And my son, 34, healthy and fit, sits in hospital having just been diagnosed with pericarditis. Lightning has struck the same family thrice. So these people deserve better. Yeah.
They deserve better. And, I dare say it's going to take some of the people that have been affected, in fact, more of them to come forward and say, this is my story. This is my story. We need it documented. And I have to still take my hat off again to Linda Wharton for her fantastic work that she's done.
And if If someone is listening out there, especially if you're from the rural sector, get in touch with us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd like to listen and speak with you, your story about how the mandates affected you working, living in the rural sector. It doesn't have to be necessarily, maybe you didn't have the vaccine. How did you negotiate your life, your business, and so on? We'd love to do something and love to talk more on this. So please get in touch with us. Meanwhile, on to the next climate crazy headline. This one from another utopian paradise, Canada. A politician there by the name of Charlie Angus has tabled a private member's bill that arguably ranks as one of the most illiberal pieces of legislation to ever hit the House of Commons order paper. The act, called the Fossil Fuel Advertising Act, would prescribe jail time for any sort of fossil fuel advertising, any sort of promotion. So, you know, the ones like the jingles that come on TV or on radio, Z is for New Zealand, or your local fuel station advertising a coffee and a donut, or some points. Well, Canada wants to penalize that, prosecute that, any sort of fossil fuel advertising. I wonder how much of his life stuff that he uses consists of fossil fuels. Does he wear a fossil fuel derived jacket, sneakers, ski gear? Your mind just boggles.
Well, it's the hypocrisy of these people. They will be wearing synthetic clothes sometime. If it's their trainers, whatever, there'll be some synthetic in their mix, and they will be in denial. I'll never forget my nuclear moment when I was addressing a function in Wellington, and the professor that would attack me for being a climate denier, I should have said, and I won't mention his name at the end of this, where I was getting harangued and harassed, I should have said, "Professor, you are positively dripping in oil." Everything he was wearing was nylon and synthetic. Everything. He'd been out running or training before this meeting, and I could have nailed him. But there you go. You miss your moment. You never get it again.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.